processes and the signals that created these features. But nowadays, embryologists have identified some of the figures, the signals that are taking place during embryogenesis and which create the different body segments of the body. We now know that during embryogenesis, a slowly developing embryo acquires specific DNA binding proteins that are located in sequential stripes all along the length of the body. And as the body starts to develop more actively, these DNA binding proteins target specific genes in each body segment and turn on the genes necessary for the features of that particular segment. So in the segments of the body of the thorax, these genes stimulate cells to form ribs. In the neck, they stimulate the genes to form the cervical vertebrae and other structures. This whole family of DNA binding proteins is a family called homeotic proteins. And if these homeotic proteins are altered experimentally, they can have drastic effects upon the shape of the body. For example, if you alter the homeotic proteins in the neck that guide the development of cervical vertebrae, you can cause mammalian embryos like mouse embryos to develop ribs in the neck. Or you can cause some the abnormalities in the jaw and other structures. So the appearance and the knowledge about these homeotic proteins has given embryologists a great tool to understand how the body develops. And these are explanations for why the vertebrae differ between one body segment and the other. Now, if you notice, the vertebral column is relatively flexible. For example, you can bend your back forward and backward so you can have some flexibility in your back. And also, you can rotate the vertebral column around its axis slightly. For example, if you're sitting in a chair, you'll notice that you can move your right shoulder anteriorly and your left shoulder posteriorly. And that's because you can rotate the vertebral column along its axis somewhat. Now, it's not really a great deal of rotation, but it's a little bit of rotation, and it adds up because you have lots of vertebrae. Why is this possible? Well, the reason that you can flex and bend the vertebral column is that each bone of the vertebral column is separated from each other by a pad of fibrocartilage called an intervertebral disc. And these intervertebral discs are slightly flexible. So that allows some flexibility of the spinal cord and the vertebral column. One thing that's noteworthy about the vertebral column is that some parts of it are much more flexible than others. As I said before, you can rotate your shoulders somewhat, a little bit, maybe about 20 degrees on either side. But your head is much more easily rotated than the rest of your body. You can look from one side to the other and basically rotate your head almost 180 degrees. So your head has an amazing ability for rotation, which is very helpful for the functions that we have to do in life. What accounts for this unusual freedom of rotation of the skull? Well, the solution to this question is the very unusual anatomy of the first two vertebrae of the neck, the first two cervical vertebrae. The vertebrae that holds up the skull on the very top of the vertebral column is given a special name,